All right, let's get to it. You can find his work on Duck Territory, Oregon.247sports.com, or you can find him on Twitter, where he uses all of the 280 characters now allowed, at Eric with a K, underscore Scopel, also with a K. Covers Oregon recruiting of all kinds, Oregon football, Oregon basketball, and more. Eric Scopel, thanks for joining us. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Fantastic, man. Trying to survive out here. Hey, Eric, when is Justin Herbert going to play?
Well, it could be this Saturday, but we don't know anything more, I guess, right now than we did this morning when Willie Tiger spoke with the media. I think a lot of us thought he might disclose that in fact, Herbert would be returning on Saturday against Arizona, but he said that decision will not be determined until 3:59 p.m. Saturday, and guess what? That game kicks off at 4.
Yeah, 4 o'clock kick. It's kind of, are you as surprised as me? I mean, I'm out there practices with you, too. And we kind of saw him the last few weeks kind of building up, you know, the physicality with which he was practicing with. And last week, I mean, obviously you're playing against Washington, so you don't want to kind of throw him out there to the Wolves. But last week, he looked physically ready. Are you as surprised as me that it kind of took this long?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I know you kind of have to protect your investment in this situation.
Sure.
You know, Tegrich referred to him as a franchise. You don't want to, you know, risk re-injury and then he's done for the year and maybe misses, you know, time through. You know, I mean, if he actually breaks it, I think it was a fracture. If he breaks it, maybe he's not back until May or June. So you do have to be kind of cautious there. He might miss spring football camp this upcoming year. But, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. You know, I think from what we saw in practice, he throws a great football. I mean, it was interesting watching him compared to what we've seen for the past couple of weeks from Braxton Burmeister, just, you know, throwing 60-yard bombs on the money. So, yeah, a little bit surprised, and honestly, you know, a little surprised that if Herbert is as close as we think he is to playing, that he didn't declare such today at his media press conference.
Yeah, I think we learned that you can't play doctor with the eyeball test. We'd be really bad doctors. It's funny, I remember after Herbert got injured, you know, people kind of looked at the Arizona game and the Civil War as sort of the get back on track games, you know, where the Ducks could kind of fix everything, get bowl eligible, and then kind of move on from there. But then Khalil Tate shows up, and Arizona is 7-3. What did Coach Taggart say today about stopping him, and what do you think their chances are against the Cats?
Well, he was asked about what kind of the best bet in terms of preparing for it was, and he said prayer. that was said kind of offhand and kind of as a joke. But, you know, I think he has been so incredibly dynamic in the six games he started. I think he has like 650 yards rushing just on touchdown runs, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
He's had like a long 50 to 70 yard touchdown in every game this season during that stretch. And I think he's a guy where if Oregon is able to eliminate those long 50, 70, 80, 90-yard touchdown runs, and he's had one in kind of all those categories already this season, that maybe they have a shot, because a lot of his yards come in kind of that big play category. And if Oregon is able to keep it to 20 yards at a maximum in terms of the rushing output on one play, they'll have a shot. Now, with that said, Arizona's played some pretty good defenses, and no one's been able to slow him down yet.
Yeah, it kind of seems like the second half of the season's Bryce Love, you know, where he was kind of missed the first half, and then he shows up and does what he's doing now. We're here with Eric Scopel of Duck Territory. Let's get to some recruiting. Oregon currently sixth in the nation for football overall with 13 4-stars, no 5-stars, but still, to be ranked that high, do you think it's something that's sustainable here? I mean, you think sixth overall, then you see a 5-5 team. It kind of doesn't make sense on paper. But is the Taggart factor good enough to actually make Oregon a top recruiting team as long as he's around?
I believe so. You know, up until Sunday, they actually had a 5-star commitment in the 2019 class. And that player, R.J. Henderson, actually decommitted on Sunday. So maybe you're starting to see a little bit of that wavering in terms of confidence with the program. But I think, you know, maybe they're not going to always be top 10, but I think with kind of the level of enthusiasm and confidence and swagger that they bring to it, I think it's not unreasonable to expect them to be in that 12 to 13 range and above every year, which is kind of uncharted territory for Oregon recruiting. I think their best class ever was 12 in 2000, and I think it was 9.
Yeah.
So, you know, the history says that this is kind of uncharted territory, but I wouldn't be surprised. You look at kind of the guys that they're bringing in this year's class, and they're, you know, it's a consistent group of guys that are wanted by a lot of really big-time football programs. And I don't think that that's going to change. I just think that the mentality that they bring to it is so foreign to what Oregon has dealt with in the past. And you're kind of seeing, I know it's 4 or 5 years removed from the height of Oregon's success in the field, but you're kind of starting to see what it's like to recruit, you know, like a top 10 program should.
You know, I've been wondering about this for a while. We always heard Oregon was impossible to recruit to. I think Chip Kelly basically like hammered that into all of our heads for years. Then he left and Mark Helfrich kind of proved his point. But, you know, Dana Altman is getting big time players to come here. Now Taggart. Do you buy any of that, that Oregon is still really hard to recruit to?
I think if you have the wrong mindset going in, like it sounds like maybe Kelly and Helfrich had, it probably is, because you kind of create a barrier that's impossible to breach. But what Taggart and his staff has done, I don't believe that's the case. And basketball is kind of it's a different sport animal, just because you're dealing with AAU basketball. These guys are out on the road, you know, traveling year round. You know, it's summer. Basically, they live on airplanes, they live in hotels, and so they're not. It's not unusual for them to be moving all the way across the country like they would for a basketball team. But with football, yeah, I think, you know, you're seeing it with Taggart. I mean, they're going across the country to pull in these guys. I mean, they've got, part of that is just because of the way he constructed his staff. A lot of guys from the Southeast, some guys from Texas, guys who have expertise in California. And they're all really enthusiastic recruiters and are very, very active. I mean, you talk to a number of the top targets Oregon's got on their board, and they all say that they're getting, you know, 4 or 5 tweets, texts, what have you, a day from the staff, which, you know, I know that I'd heard rumors with the previous staff that it was, you know, a situation where maybe they'd get a text every couple of weeks, and this group is just so much more active.
Here with Eric Scopel from Duck Territory. All right, on to hoops. You know, the Ducks just signed 2 big players, Miles Norris and Lewis King, lost out on R.J. Barrett, who apparently chose Duke over Oregon. Nice company to be in. but Manute Bol's son, Bol Bol, is the 3rd-ranked player in the nation, according to your guys' rankings, has Oregon as a finalist. What are you hearing on him, and, you know, what would he do to Oregon's class for basketball?
Yeah, as you mentioned, Bol Bol, son of Manute, 7'3", incredibly talented. Down to Oregon and Kentucky, you mentioned a second ago, Duke being good company to be in, and Kentucky's right there with Duke in terms of the blue bloods and
on the recruiting
course. Two schools right now, the Crystal Ball, which is 24/7 kind of prognosticating service, which experts kind of put in, hey, we think X player is going to X school. Oregon has a very, very high percentage of those. I think it's in the 90s right now in terms of people projecting. The worrisome part here in terms of when is this going to happen? Signing day runs from November 8th through the 15th. So we're right in the middle of it, and yet kind of no word from Bol on kind of when he's committing, if he's going to commit and sign during this period. And if he doesn't sign in the next 3 days, he won't be able to sign again until the spring signing period. And at that point, you start going, if he's so sold on Oregon, why is he stretching it out? So there is probably a certain level of concern just in terms of when he does it. But with that said, he still has, you know, a nice little window here. If he, you know, most people think if he is going to sign right now, it would be with Oregon. And, you know, you mentioned, kind of asked what the impact of that would be. It would be huge. He would be the best recruit they'd ever signed. He's a guy that is an instant impact player. He's a probable top 2 or 3 pick in the NBA draft. When he does come out, 7'3", can shoot the 3, can dribble the basketball. You can watch his highlights on YouTube, and they're kind of unlike anything you've ever seen. He's maybe a little bit like a Kristaps Porzingis, just in the versatility. You know, 7'3", 7'4", can shoot it, can dribble, can defend a lot of different positions. So huge talent, a guy that Oregon just a couple of years ago would have had no shot of landing, but you know, the recent success and kind of the inroads they've had with other big-time recruits has kind of put him in a spot where they're one of the favorites. And it's also worth mentioning the FBI investigation eliminated 2 of his other top schools, which were Arizona and USC.
Interesting.
And those are schools that were probably considered favorites for him. And you do wonder if maybe he's kind of slowing things down right now and going to wait until the FBI, this is mostly speculative, but wait until the FBI makes some determination on some things with Arizona and USC. And obviously, they've arrested the coach from each school, but maybe there's a possibility that things don't look quite as bad in 4 months, and he kind of circles back around and picks one of those schools.
Does he sound like he could be a one and done type of player?
Yes, I think absolutely. You just kind of look at, you know, and he is a guy that probably isn't quite as polished as R.J. Barrett, who Oregon, you just mentioned, was a finalist for.
Yeah.
But he's 7'3". He's got a wingspan of close to 8 feet. He can shoot from three. He can do all these things. He just looks. You look at him and you go, that guy can play in the NBA and do it sooner rather than later.
The Ducks in action tonight against Prairie View A&M. That opener against Coppin State, it seemed disjointed, I think is a good word for it. A great first half, not a great second half. Obviously, a lot of new faces on the floor. What kind of things did Coach Altman say about that game? Seemed like a lot to improve on for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and one, I think the big takeaway for me was two things. First off, they did not defend well at all in the second half. First half, I think they held Coppin State to like 4-for-28 shooting, and you're going, this team might not score 30 points tonight. But in that second half, they got kind of lazy. They allowed 40 points, and Altman said basically you have 13 guys on a roster, and all of them think their first option is to score. And he needs a couple of those guys to commit to the defensive end, and I think you'll start to see that. I mean, this is certainly, you know, really, really, really early on in the season, so you don't want to have too much of a knee-jerk reaction, but you understand that the inclination there with a lot of these newcomers, and there are a ton on this team, is to get as many shots up as possible. And you saw that at times on the previous game where it was just like, that's not a high-quality shot. There goes the ball. So I think you'll see that kind of correct itself, you know, over time. And then the other thing was the three-point shooting, which, you know, Altman had actually said after the first two exhibition games was better this year than it has been in the past, and they might actually shoot it more. And yet they go out there in their first game, and I think they shot it at like a 30% clip, which has to be better if you're going to lean on that shot as much as it looks like they're going to. So, you know, I think those are two things to kind of keep an eye on tonight against Prairie View. You know, how do they shoot the ball from three? Is it better? Are they taking better ones? Are they taking less? Are they taking more? And then how do they defend over 40 minutes? Like I said, they defended really well in the first half against Coppin State, and then far too many easy buckets after that.
Kind of reminiscent of last year when Coach Altman talked about that with their non-conference schedule, how they needed to improve defensively, and then sure enough, Jordan Bell and Chris Boucher improved defensively.
Right.
Last question here for Eric Scopel of Duck Territory. Now, we actually all seem to forget the growing pains Oregon went through last non-conference. It took them a while to mesh and become, you know, the Final Four team that they ended up. If you had a hunch, I mean, you know, the grad transfers can only play better than they did against Coppin State. If you had a hunch, do you think this team can actually challenge Arizona for a conference title this year?
Well, it'll depend on who's playing for the Wildcats with all this FBI stuff.
Yeah, that's true too.
Come down, but I think that's going to be in my mind, and I know a lot of people are probably more optimistic than mine. I see a team that doesn't have the size up front to compete with Arizona. You know, you look at Arizona. I'm not sure if you guys have watched or if people listening have watched, but they've got DeAndre Ayton, who's going to be a top five draft pick.
He is a freak of nature.
Absolutely, a total stud. He's kind of a bull, if you will, in this year's class in terms of his talent and skills. And he is very, very difficult. And I look at Oregon's roster, and they started Roman Sorkin at center last game. And I don't think that will be the case when they play Arizona in January for the first time. I don't think Sorkin will be starting. And it's worth mentioning, he played great in the first game of the regular season. But I just kind of look around the roster and go, who guards that guy? You know, and I think that becomes an issue. And realistically, Arizona's probably a lot more talented this year than Oregon, but Dana Altman coach teams have always played better than their recruiting ranking. With that said, I just think Arizona might just be, this might be one of those years where they're just a little too good for Oregon.
Man, that was so much that we just covered. You can find him at Eric_Scopel on Twitter. Find his work at Duck Territory Online. Eric, it has been a pleasure talking some recruiting while Steve is gone. Thanks for letting us do that, man. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Thanks, man.